Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of the sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon-coming King. We are excited every day to come here and bring a word that the Lord, we believe that the Lord has given to us. And we pray that the people that are hearing us will receive the word and activate the word in their life, in their ministry. So without further ado, let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, O God, and we glorify your name for this day and for this word that you have given to us coming out of the book of Daniel. We came out of Ezekiel yesterday, and we had a plan that we were going to continue in the book of Ezekiel today, but the Lord had a different plan, us to the book of Daniel. And this is where we want to go today. God, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west, O God, and that you would allow your word to go forth with power and with authority in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we worship you and we bow down before you, we pray that you will receive the worship that we have chosen today by the Spirit to give to you this morning out of a pure, pure heart, O God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Your mercy never fades. Oh, my dear, I've been held from the moment that I waited till I laid my hand. Oh, I was all the good things of God. All my life to have been so great. Every breath you take, while we all agree, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I have known you as a friend. I have loved you today.
Oh, my life,
Oh, I will see of the good. You're the answer to it all. Thank you.
name of the Lord Jesus, we are faithful. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor the Lord Jesus with all that's within us. We bless his holy name. We praise his holy name. And we honor his holy name this afternoon. Come just to lift up his name, to glorify him, honoring him with everything that's within us. We hold him back nothing, giving him all of us this here morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is in your neighborhood. We are giving him all. Today we thank you, Father, for this great day that you have allowed us to enter in. And we always say this bidding that we're here yesterday. We're here even early this morning. They woke up. But then for some reason or another, they cross over into another dimension. They have left this world. But we are still here in the land of the living. And for that reason, we are saying thank you, Lord. We are saying praise you, oh Savior, for keeping us in the land of the living. We ask, Father God, that you allow us to deliver this message with clarity and with love, compassion, and mercy. As we speak this word today, we were just last Tuesday, he was on the line with a prayer line with many others. And, you know, you're praying, you're hearing at the same time. You're multitasking of what the Lord wants you to see and hear. And this is what the Lord has dropped in my spirit when I was listening to the praise. And the Lord said, go to Daniel chapter 10. And as I was reading this, studying it, I went back and I read chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Glory to God. And it just spoke to my heart how important it is for us to seek the face of God in prayer. A lot of times we take prayer lightly, but prayer is so powerful and so important that it touches the heart of God. You know, you can run around, jump around, you can put all your money on the altar, but it don't move God. But your prayer coming from your heart, from the center of your heart, pureness of your heart, it touches the heart of God. And today we pray, God, as we go into these scriptures, Lord, that we'll be able to touch your heart, even as Daniel touched your heart. The message today is the heavenly messenger will fight for you. The heavenly messenger will fight for you. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says that in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the offsprings of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books the numbers of years, which according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass by before the desolations or destructions which had been pronounced over Jerusalem should end. And it was 70 years in Jeremiah 25 and 11 and 12. He says, Jeremiah chapter 25, 11 and 12 says, and this whole land shall be desolate, shall be a desolation, admonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolation. In other words, God said he gonna make it a place that no one would even look upon, want to be in, want to live. Back in Daniel chapter 9 and verses 3, he said, I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel set his face towards the Lord to seek the Lord. And Daniel is in a state of humiliation. In other words, he's putting himself in humility. He's humble in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is not putting himself that he is a messenger or he is this ambassador of Christ. No, he's humble. He's in sackcloth. He does not have a fancy robe on, a fancy shark skin suit, or alligator shoes, crocodile shoes on. No, he is in sackcloth. He has ashes on his head. That means he is in a state of mourning, humility before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pump ourselves up and make ourselves like we all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola before the Lord, where we should be humbling ourselves before the Lord. Hallelujah. We should be humbling ourselves before the Lord as his servants. Glory to God. But we want to puff ourselves up and make ourselves like we more than we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Daniel goes before the Lord in prayer. And as I was studying this morning, I was up and I was studying this morning. I said, wow, this Daniel is so powerful. And he's so humble at the same time. He's not only powerful because the anointing of God is upon him, but he's humble. He's a humble man. The Bible says that, I'm reading out the Amplified and also the Logos. He says in verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keeps covenant mercy and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandment. That was so powerful. That verse there was so powerful. Daniel began to tell God about himself. Imagine that. He's telling God who he sees God is. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord. He's admonishing God, the great and dreadful God who keeps covenant mercy and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandment. It is so important that you fall in love with God, and that you keep his commandments. In other words, that you be obedient to his word. Some people are saying how much they love the Lord, but they don't keep their commandments. They don't keep his commandments. They're not obedient to his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Daniel went on and says, we have sinned and dealt perversely and done wickedly and have rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinance. This now, Daniel now is repenting, not only for himself, repenting for the people. A lot of times we are calling the people to repentance, but we are not repenting for ourselves. We think that we have arrived, that we got the right to go before God and say what we want to say before the God without even repenting. You may not have done anything wickedly. We may not have cursed and blasphemed, but we have thoughts in our minds that are not like God, that does not bring glory to God. And remember, God does not look at the outside.
He does not look at the outer appearance like man does, but he looks at the heart. So every time we come before God, we ought to ask God to forgive us. Tell the Lord that we repent of all the things that kept us away from him, the things that we just have done, the things that we have thought about that did not bring glory to him. We ought to go before God that way. We ought to go before God in that manner. You understand? With a heart of humility. Not like God owe us something, but that we owe him everything. Because he don't kill us. He didn't kill us. But in a matter of fact, he extend life to us when he should kill us. Daniel, continue. Neither have we, verse 6, neither have we listened to and heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. See, Daniel said, look, we haven't paid attention. We haven't adhered to what the prophet, the leaders, have been saying to us. God sent his ambassadors and gave them word. The messengers of God came and spoken to us. But we take it for granted. We took it lightly. When the man of God is preaching, teaching, the woman of God is teaching, preaching, we take it for granted. We don't adhere to it and say, well, look, this is the word of God and this is what I need to do. I need to make some adjustments in my life because God is speaking to me. It's God's word. You know what we do? We try to analyze everything that the man of God is saying or the woman of God is saying. In other words, what we do, excuse me, as soon as I start to minister, my throat starts itching me. But what we do is that we start critiquing the man of God, the woman of God. In other words, we try to look for every mistake, everything that they say that don't sound good or it may not be right to our hearing. And we say, well, that's not right. That don't sound good. Who make him a minister? Who make her a minister? And we start to analyze everything instead of asking God to give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what he is saying. Now, Daniel is praying for everybody. He reminds me of Brother Deacon Fraser. He prays for everybody, even the cat, the dog. He prays for everybody. But listen to Daniel. Oh, Lord, righteousness belongs to you. But to us, confusion and shame of face. As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, to those who are near and to those who are afar off, through all the countries to which you have driven them because of the treacherous trespass which they have committed against you. Daniel is telling the Lord that the Lord has the right, not that God, Daniel has to tell him. He's telling the Lord he has the right to do what he's doing. He said, God is righteousness belong. In other words, you are a righteous God. You are a loving God. You are a kind God. You are a merciful God. But confusion belongs to us. Hallelujah. Because we are not doing the things. We are not adhering to the things that you say. We are not following your commandments. We are not obedient to your word. We are doing what feels good to us. And in the end, what it does is kill us. Hallelujah. So he says to the Lord, oh, Lord, to us belong confusion, shame of face, and to our kings, our presidents, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Our leaders are sinning against God, because our leaders only have one objective. Is to build themselves up, to get rich. Hallelujah. To be honored, to be glorified. They're looking for all this stuff that belongs to God. He says, that loving kindness is with God. He says that righteousness belongs to God. We're looking for all this stuff. We're claiming this stuff like it's ours. We ought to thank God that he extends righteousness to us, not pushing our chest up like we all that. Daniel says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. That means we have done it a long time. We've been doing it. It says ED. Okay? Rebelled, past tense. That means we've been doing it for some time now. Rebelling against God's word, against God's commandment. People today, the young people are not concerned about God. They're not concerned about living holy or righteous. They're concerned about having a good time. Because they said, this is my life. Nobody going to tell me how to live my life. I live my life the way I want to live my life. Don't you hear people saying that all the time? And they say that with boldness. Like they have control over the hour, over the minute, over the second. Like they have control truly over their lives. They don't have control. Because you can get in a car right now, say you're going to the grocery store. You're going to the CVS or Walmart, or you're going to Walgreens or some drugstore. Somewhere you're going. The ice cream store is warm. People going to, we passed by the ice cream store the other day. This place that make this ice cream from scratch. And I tell you, the line, the people, and it's very expensive ice cream too, but people line up for it because the ice cream tastes like nothing you've tasted before. The ice cream in the store don't match with it. But every time they open, they have lines waiting. People sometimes be waiting by that store, waiting until it's on a private property. You know, it's not between all the big grocery stores and all that stuff in the mall. It's on a side street. And it's a big place. And they have a lot of people employed there. Family business. And they make the ice cream from scratch. And I tell you, it's some good ice cream. But it's expensive. But he says here, Daniel says, we have rebelled against God. And we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us through his servants and prophets. You see, not only has God given us the word in the book, but God has sent leaders to teach us the word. Because most of us, when we first came to the body of believers, didn't understand the word. I know I was seeing a lady come to me one time. I was in Virginia. She comes to me. She says, Elder, I read my Bible every day. She said she was very, very bold. She said, I read my Bible every day, but I just don't understand what it's saying. She said, it's very complicated. Daniel says here in Daniel chapter 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness, for we have rebelled. Listen to Daniel. We have rebelled against him. We don't have the right to go ask him for stuff. We ought to come to him with a heart of repentance. This is how we should go before God. We go to God with our chest pushed up like we arrived. We got it together. Every time we come to God, before God, we repentance. Because you say, man, well, Pastor, I don't understand that because I haven't done this, I haven't said this, I haven't do that. But you taught it. And a lot of us think some things that are not godly. From time to time, we get upset in our mind at people that say things about us or do things to us, and we don't take up the baseball bat or take up the machete or something to hurt somebody. But in our mind, we get angry with them, at them. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down before you. But we don't repent. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. But you know what it means? Don't repent for it before the sun go down. Don't keep that stuff in your mind. Daniel says, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking. See how we obey him? By walking in his laws, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Verse 11 says, chapter we're going to is chapter 10, but we got to stay here because God gave us this morning. He said, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, even turning aside that they might not obey your voice, rejecting God. Therefore, the curse has been poured out on us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 to 45. Deuteronomy chapter verse 15 to 68. This possessed the word of the curse. Oh, we rebel against him. We rejected him. We are starting worshiping idols. We have things that we put ahead of God. Hallelujah. We put them ahead of God because they become more important to us than God. So we are worshiping these things. You got a new car. You got a new Lexus, a new Bentley, a new Rolls Royce, a new Toyota Corolla, whatever your car is, new BMW, new Volkswagen, new motorcycle, new Harley Davidson. And now you spend more time shining it and polishing it and washing it off and keeping it clean. You don't have time to study the word anymore. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to fast. No, that become your idol. You got a new home. You were renting apartments for a long time. But now the Lord has blessed you with enough savings, enough finances that you can apply for a mortgage. So now you got this 4-bedroom house, 2-car garage, swimming pool, and all this stuff. And you spend more time trying to fix up the house with all this fancy cosmetics, a new television, new dish, new microwave, all this stuff you put it inside there. Even all the plush carpets and stuff, new mahogany floors, all type of stuff you're doing that. Well, however you like it fixed, you fix it up. And you spend your life, spend all your days worshiping that house. Now, God is on the back burner. We're not studying. We're not reading. He says, and he has carried out intact his threatening words, which he threatened against us and against our judges, the kings, princes, and rulers generally who rule us. And he has brought upon us a great evil, for under the whole heavens there has not been done before anything so dreadful as he has caused to be done against Jerusalem. Talking about God. Because when you put God in that place, that he becomes jealous. He becomes extremely angry because you're giving what belongs to him to some other entity. You are spending more time trying to figure out how to get rich, how to be prosperous, and not how to be closer to God. You're spending more time trying to get the next building, the next house, the next cars, more money in the bank, all of these things, the next Rolex watch. You're thinking how to get the best thing that you can get that make you look good to the neighbors or to your family, look prosperous to your family. But you're not spending the time that you ought to be spending to be closer to God. Hear me what I'm talking about. He said, just as it is written in the law of Moses, as to all this evil that would surely come upon transgressors, so it has come upon us. Yet we have not earnestly begged for forgiveness and entreated the favor of the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and have understanding and become wise in your truth. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28 and verse 15. All of this that God has brought upon the people, and yet the people has not turned to God for forgiveness, for repentance. You see, because when repentance comes, forgiveness comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to bring our heart before God, not our mouth. We are men, like the man said this morning, I said, the man said this thing, I was surfing through my page, my pages of my computer, and the man said that so many people say they repent, but before it can get out their mouth good that they say they repent, they go back and do the same exact things. And what he was saying is that people say they repent, but in reality, they don't repent. How do you know that a person truly repented, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that question. It's in the Word. When you know a person repent is when they turn, stop doing what they've been doing. The stuff that's been keeping them or hindering them from being spending quality time with God. Like you tell your wife or your husband, I'm not going out with the boys anymore. No, honey, I'm going to stay home with you. No, baby, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay. We're going to sit down. We're going to watch. We can watch, read the newspaper on the television screen, or we can watch our favorite show. We can watch, sit down, watch the news. We can just kick the bubble. We can just hang out together, baby. You told him that. You told her that. But as soon as your girlfriend called the house, you tell your wife. Sometimes you don't even say nothing to her. You just get up and you get in the car and you go with your friends. Maybe somebody else is driving. You're going with them. See, you didn't really repent for not going out. And it's the same thing we do to God. Lord, I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to spend time in prayer and fasting. Lord, I'm going to be on the prayer line. Our God, I'm going to the church line. I'm going to church tomorrow, Lord. I'm going to be there, Lord. When the building open, I'm going to the building. I'm going to fellowship my brothers and sisters. But you don't show up. You just told God that. You don't keep your word to God. You don't keep your word to man, and you don't keep your word to God. That's why Jesus said, how can you say you love me and you don't love the brother or sister that you see every day? Well, we say we love God, but we don't keep the word. And Daniel is praying. Daniel is in prayer. He's in fasting and praying. And he's not fasting and praying for himself. He's not fasting and praying for his brothers and sisters. His uncles and aunts and father and mother. He's praying for the whole nation of Israel. He's praying for Judah and Jerusalem. He's praying for them. He's interceding for them. Why? Because, listen, no man is an idol. No one man's an island. We can't make it by ourselves, but we can make it together. That's why we pray for each other. Some people only come to critique and see how the word was released. I want to know how she preaching. I don't like the way she preached. I don't like the way he preached. Come to do his critique. Instead of hearing what God is saying for us, when I go on a prayer line or if I go on a church line, I'm going to get a word. I'm going to hear what God is saying for me. And I'm going to get what's for me, because what's for me, I'm going to take. What is not for me, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be critical of it. I said, Lord, I thank you for this. And that word jumped off and jumped into my ear. I got it, Lord. And as soon as I get up, sometimes I'm on there and I'm on my computer because I'm looking up. I'm looking to see what I can put together with that word, what scriptures I can go that can expound that word that I heard from the preacher. Glory to God. Listen. He says, therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity or evil, and has brought for the Lord our God is uncompromisingly righteous and rigidly just in all his works, which he does, keeping his word. And we have not obeyed his voice. God is faithful to what he say and what he will do. We do not obey. We do not spend the time in his presence that we ought to. We want more of him, but we don't give him more of ourselves. In order to get more of God, we have to submit more. Submit and commit, Bishop James. We have to submit and commit to God's way and to his will. Listen what he says. This is why I teach the whole word, not just a part of it. Daniel says in Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 15, "And now, O Lord, O God, who brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and secure yourself renowned and a name as at this day we have seen. We have done wickedly." Daniel said, "God, you have brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand, and you secure your name at renown." In other words, your name is above all names. No pharaoh in Egypt or anywhere in the world can compare to you. But we have sinned wickedly. Daniel is praying. "And have done wickedly." We have sinned. This is what we got. This is how we got to go before God if you want to hear from him. Acknowledge where you are in your walk. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. Bring our imperfections before the Lord so he can perfect them. He says, Daniel is speaking. He says, glory to God, "O Lord, according to all your righteousness, according to all your rightness and justice, I beseech you, let your anger and your wrath be turned away from your city, Jerusalem." Daniel is interceding for the people of God. "Your holy mountain, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach and a byword to all who are around us. Sin will make people look at you with cross eyes." I don't know if that's the term I want to use, but sin will make people look at you different, especially when you profess that you are a child of God, but yet still you're living like the world. People will look at you different.
Bless me, Lord.
Ah, thank you, Lord. Bless you. He says, "Now therefore, O Lord, O God, listen and heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplication. For your own sake, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate." The sanctuary is empty. The sanctuary has become worthless, useless. But Daniel now is asking God to look upon it. "Bring back the anointing. Let your presence come back in this place, Lord. Your people is here. We got to start, get back to a place that we crave for his presence. Come on in his presence with thanksgiving. Come up, bring a praise in your mouth. God, have a praise and a sound. Hallelujah." He says, glory to God. "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our own righteousness and justice, but for your great mercy and loving kindness." My God, my God, my God. Can you imagine talking to God like that? Talk to anyone like this, and they will have compassion. Daniel is on his face. He's bowed down before God, praying for the people of God. Not praying for people that are righteous or holy. He's praying for people that are sinful and rejecting the holy, righteous God. He's praying for them. Can we get up and pray for homosexuals? Can we rise up and pray for lesbians? Can we pray for the drag queen? Can we pray for the prostitutes? For the sex traffickers? Can we pray for the pedophiles? Can we pray for the people that are doing us wrong, that are speaking ill of us? Can we pray for them? Oh, we just talk about them. But listen to Daniel. And I read this so many different times, but I told this morning, as I and last night when I was looking at this, it was just speaking to my heart. God would say, this is the kind of person that I want you to, I need you to be. Listen. Glory to God. Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the whole holy hill of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the form of vision, you'll see this in chapter 7, that Gabriel showed up to him and touched his mouth. Listen. Whom I had seen in the form of vision, being caused to fly swiftly, came near to me and touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. Now, Daniel is interceding for God's people, his people, his associates, the people that ought to be worshiping God with Daniel. Daniel is on his knees, on his knees. He has sackcloth and ashes on his head. We read that earlier in the scripture. He put on sackcloth. He not have a three-piece suit, alligator shark skin suit, or alligator shoes, or nothing. He is in the sackcloth. We call it burlap in my country. He have this burlap sackcloth on, and he has ashes all over his face and all over his head. And he is seeking God for the people. This is what Daniel is doing. He says, Gabriel instructed me and made me understand. This is who he's talking about. He says, after Gabriel touched him and began to relate, break down what God was speaking to Daniel in the vision. He's making it clear. He said he instructed me and made me understand. He talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. The angel Gabriel come back. God had dispatched one of his heavenly hosts, one of his heavenly warriors to go down to earth and talk to Daniel, one of his servants. Because Daniel is in a repentant move. He's not only asking for repentance for his soul, but he's asking for the soul of the people, the whole nation of Israel. Listen to this, man. If we would get together and pray like this and pray for the nation, the angel will come down. My topic today is the heavenly messenger will fight for you. How do you know that? Keep your finger there in Daniel chapter 9. And let's go over here to this psalm that we all pull up from time to time. Psalm 91. The angels will fight for you because, I have it on my page, the Lord has given his angels charge over you. Mahalo to keep you in all your way. Psalm 91, verse 11. Listen what it says. Psalm 91, glory to God. Listen what it says. He says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Everywhere you go, they will keep you. They're fighting for you. They're protecting you. They have been given that charge from God. Hallelujah. So Daniel is having this conversation now with the angel. It's a 70 weeks of years, 400 or 490 days, 90 years, are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish and put an end to transgressions. It is time for us to stop sinning. This is what Daniel is receiving from the prophet, from the angel. The angel said, you've got 490 years to get this thing right. The people got to stop. See, that we don't preach enough about sin. We have got too many prosperity agents out there. If you want to hear people talk about sin, you got to go to a little church. Go down that avenue and find that little church in the avenue. Find Brimstone. The big church, all they talk about is you getting this and getting that. What's the point of having all that and going to hell? Burn up in the lake of fire and brimstone. Here, Daniel is being instructed by the angel Gabriel. He says, 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, are agreed upon your people and upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish and put an end, stop transgression. And to seal up and make full the measure of sin. To purge away and make expiation and reconciliation for sin. To bring an everlasting righteousness, permanent moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. To seal up vision and prophesy, seal up vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint a holy of holies. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the coming of the anointing one. A prince shall be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. It shall be built again with city, square, and moat. But in troublous times. See, in troublous times the way God going to do his greatest work between the people. As you understand what God is saying and what God requires, in troublous times is when God going to do his mightiest work with his people. When his people spend time fasting and praying, God is going to show up in the midst, and God is going to empower his people, his bride, to do what needs to be done before he returns. Daniel is getting the instructions right here. This is for future time. This is being spoken to Daniel. You'll see it in chapter 10. He says, let's go to verse 26. And after the 62 weeks of years shall the anointed one be cut off or killed and shall have nothing, and no one belonging to and defending him, and the people of the other prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and even to the end there shall be war and desolations. Isaiah 53 verse 7 to 9. Nahum, verse 1 and 8. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 6 to 14. And he shall enter into a strong and firm covenant with the many for 1 week, seven years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease for the remaining 3.5 years, and upon the wing of pinnacles of abomination shall come. One who makes desolate until the full determined end is poured out on the desolator. Now, this is the Antichrist, okay? He's going to come and make things desolate, not beautiful. In chapter 10 of, let's go to the Logos Bible for this one. Chapter 10 of Daniel. We'll just read chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 10. But in your own time, I'm telling you something. Read chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. These books will bless you. They will bless you. They will open your understanding to what God expects his people, his leaders, and the congregation to do. Because you won't have leaders without congregation. You got to have people that you can teach, can share the word of God with. Understand? I had my nephew was calling me this morning for help from Barbados. He's diabetic and very bad, but God has blessed him. Prayed with him, went in the hospital, lay hands on him and blessed him, lay hand on his feet. And he didn't take care of himself. He grew up and then he was a nice crack guy. And he grew up and didn't take care of himself and then get diabetes. But it affected his feet so bad that the bottom of his feet was completely rotten. You never seen anything like that. They had to take off his sole, the sole of his feet. You ever hear anything like that before? They had to take off the sole of both of his feet to save his feet. Because they were talking about cutting off his legs below the knee. And he said, no, man, I don't want you to do that. He always called the Savior, the man above. He said, no, I don't want you to do that. The man above going to take care of me. And we had prayed with him on the phone, and when we get to Barbados, we laid hands on him. Well, he's doing much better. Now he's in a recovery place now, you know, where he can rehab, get therapy and all that stuff. And God is talking for me. He called me this morning. He asked him for some help, you know. And I was praying to God to give me what I need to help the people, not only the people out here, but my family. I got family members that need financial aid. And I got friends and family in the body of Christ that need financial aid. So I pray for that. God to bless me. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persians, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was called by his name Belshazzar. And the word was reliable. And it concerned a great tribulation. And he understood the word. And he received understanding. Now see, the angel of God already, Gabriel already spoke to Daniel. Daniel said that the word was reliable. It didn't come from man. It came from God by the angel. The angel was the mailman from God who brought the word to Daniel. So Daniel could say that the word was reliable. You hear a lot of people saying stuff to you today, preaching from the microphone, from the podium. If it does not line up to the book, these 66 books that we have, it is not reliable. You can't trust it because some man, some woman is coming up and trying to put it out there because they went to school of theology and they got a master's degree or got a doctorate degree. You can't trust that word. They want to sound prolific. They want to sound like they're well-educated. They want to sound real great in your hearing. But when it's God's word, Daniel says, it was reliable. It concerned a great tribulation, and he understood the word. And he received understanding. A lot of time we're hearing the word, we don't understand the word, and we don't receive understanding. In those days, I myself was in mourning. In other words, he was fasting. We read it earlier in chapter 9. He was fasting and praying. He called it mourning. But he was fasting and praying for the people of Israel, Jerusalem, and for himself. He repented for himself. He repented for the people. Sometimes we want to just pray for the people. And I want to bring the people's names before God, but we leave ours out. Remember, I told you all about the movie called The Rapture. And the pastor said he was preaching for 30 some years or 40 some years. And how many people, he was an older man, how many people he left, you know, he had led to the cross to meet Jesus. I mean, the thing, when I saw that, every time I see it, it just moved me to tears. I know many of you all on the line right now have seen that show before, that movie of the Rapture. People were just coming out of their clothes that did it, you know, to do stuff. Hollywood know how to do their stuff, how to work the cameras. And the people was coming out of their clothes, and the clothes was just dropped, the shoes and handbag and everything. Even the Bible was left behind. All that stuff was left in the clothes. All their watching, the rings and everything, the wedding bands and everything was on the floor of the church. But the pastor said he led so many people to the cross to meet Jesus, but he never went. Well, you got a lot of preachers today like that. They can preach repentance to you, and they can preach holiness, righteousness to you. But are they living holy? Are they repented? Are they repented? No. Daniel understood it. He received it, and he understood it. Excuse me. In those days, he said, I, Daniel, I myself was in mourning for 3 whole weeks, 21 days, and I had not eaten any choice food, and meat and wine did not enter my mouth, and I did not use any ointment. In other words, he put nothing to make him look all this fancy fire. He said, until the end of the whole 3 weeks. And then on the 24th day of the month, I myself was on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. And I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, and there was a man, and he was dressed in linen. That linen represents purity. It tells you that he was a servant of God. Hallelujah. They would always wear these light clothes. Plus, and you say, well, in the time back then in Israel and Jerusalem, it's very hot, so they wear linen clothes anyway. Because it's too hot. If you go to Africa, people wearing light clothes, light clothes, because it's extremely hot. And he said, I lifted up my eyes and I saw, and there was a man, and he was dressed in linen, and his waist was girded with the gold of Ephah. Now his body was like turquoise, and his face was like the of lightning, and his eyes were like torches of fire, and his arms and legs were like the gleam of polished bronze, and the song of his words was like the songs of a multitude. And I saw, and I, Daniel, alone, the vision, and the people who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled in order to hide themselves. Do you remember anything else like this? Remember Paul on his way to Damascus? When Jesus came in the cloud and talked to him? He could hear Jesus. The people with him couldn't see or hear. But they knew something would happen. They were trembling too. He said, and I myself alone saw the great vision. And as a result, no strength was left in me. This is the appearance of Jesus himself. The revelations show you this same appearance in the book of Revelation. Now, there was no strength left in Daniel. And my complexion grew deeply pale, and I did not retain any strength, and I heard the songs of his words and went to hear. And when I heard the sound of his words, I myself began falling into a trance on my face, with my face to the ground, and look, a hand touched me, and it rose me to my knees. And the palm of his hand, and he said to me, Daniel, a man beloved, pay attention to the words that I am speaking to you, and stand upright where you are. For I have now been sent, and while he was speaking, while he was speaking with me this word, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, you must not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I myself have come before because of your words. But the prince of the king of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood before me for 21 days and look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me. And I left him there beside the king of the Persians. Michael is fighting, and Gabriel is fighting. I tell you that the topic today is the heavenly messenger will fight for you. And we show you in Psalm 91, verse 11, that he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. No. Michael, and Gabriel is sent to assist this man of God who is in prayer, who is fasting and praying for the people of God. He's not just praying for himself. He said, oh, God, I need you to bless me with this and bless me with that. Lord, heal my sister, heal my brother. Oh, Lord, we talking about me and my four no more. But Daniel is praying for everybody, the whole nation. And he's repenting for them. They may be still doing what they're doing. But Daniel is before God repenting for the people. We never think to do that. We tell them you need to repent. But here in the book of Daniel, it said that you can repent for the people that didn't repent for themselves. Daniel took it before the Lord. It's right in the book. This is none that I'm putting together. This is in the book. We read it in chapter 9. We read it, reading it here now. You go to chapter 7, 8, and 9, and you'll see. Daniel is interceding for the people and for himself. He says, listen. The angel says, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia before me for 21 days, and look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me. And I left him there beside the king of the Persians. I have come to instruct you about what will happen to your people in the future. I told you this is future. For there is a further vision here for the future. Gabriel is talking to Daniel. Michael is fighting the Persians. These are two of the top angels of heaven. There's another one called Aziel. Aziel is in the book of Enoch. Aziel. He's one of the warriors of heaven too. There's seven of them that are out front. There's many. There's thousands of angels in heaven, but there's seven of them that stand out front. It's in the book of Enoch. And they're the boss warriors for the kingdom of God. Nothing can stand before them. They are like the lieutenants or the generals of heaven. Hallelujah. And here in this text here, as I was looking at this, hallelujah, because I was on the line on Tuesday night with Apostle Washington and Bishop James and some other people, and I tell you that This is what I was hearing. We were praying. We were praying for everybody. And this is what I was hearing. God is saying, no, don't just pray for the saints. You got to pray for the unsaved. You got to pray them out of darkness into his light. Just as somebody prayed you out of darkness, prayed me out of darkness, prayed us out of darkness into God's light, we got to pray them out. We want people to be saved. We want people to be sanctified. But they're not just coming. Your praise is like magnet, like a great giant magnet. It draws people out of that sinful state that they're in. Satan is setting up barriers to hinder you from praying. He don't want you to pray for them. He don't want, says, you find an excuse not to pray for them. Oh, well, you know, they live in a style that is so tainted, so detestable, so abominable. You say, I don't want, says, I tell you that. And you get it in your mind, I'm not going to pray for them. They're lesbian, they're homosexual, they're gangbangers, they're dope pushers, they smoke, they're crackheads, they're heroin addicts. I'm not going to pray for them. They're going to die anyway. No, God says. I was watching a man last night on TV, and he was saying that he's on a business down Boston, and there's so many drug addicts down there, and they just saturated the whole street. Whole street, I mean. And you see men laying on the sidewalk. We call it fiending. And they're scratching their hand from just shot up heroin, and they're like they're on the verge of dying. But this man was saying last night, he says, you know, he bought this big business. And he said it hurt him to see the people out there living like that. How the mayor had moved all the people that had a lot of tents and stuff, where they dedicated in the tents and on the street and all that stuff. And she moved them, and they're going someplace. Other people come. He said that they need to make places that, because they need to have, they're sick. But he put in a sprinkler system on his building that would keep his sidewalk in front of his building wet. When they come and they're laying up there at night and stuff and shooting, because sometimes he come and find the bloody kerchiefs and bloody cloths that they use to tie off their arm and stuff and blood, and he have to move their stuff with special equipment to pick them up. And he said that what I'm trying to get to, he said he was an addict. He says, but somebody was prayed for him, and he was delivered, and he overcome his addiction. And he has able to get all these degrees and stuff, and now he owns this big, fancy business down there making plenty of money. What I'm saying this to say that if we as brothers and sisters in Christ, believers, lay people, would just pray for them people on the streets. Even when you drive down some streets that you know people are hanging out, that they think, then just stop and put your hand out, and Lord, I just pray for this street and call out the name. 21st Ave, Lord, I just pray for 21st Ave. I just heard that. I don't know why. But, Lord, I pray for 24th Avenue in Boston, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray right now that every dope addict, every prostitute, every sex trafficker, human trafficker, every fornicator, every adulterer, every drug user, oh, God, every drag queen that hang out on the street, Lord, I ask you to touch their hearts, Lord. Bring salvation to them, Lord, because we know salvation is of the Lord. So, Father, we ask you, God. Daniel said forgiveness is of the Lord. Righteousness is of the Lord. Oh, God, we just ask that you just pour down. Lord, I don't know that street. I never drove on that street. I can't remember. But, Lord, that's the one I just saw in the vision. I ask you to go on that street, wherever it's at, Lord God, and begin to touch the people, Lord. Touch their hearts. Convict them that they don't have to die like that, but they can live. They can live in a life that glorifies you, God. Oh, Father, I just thank you right now. In Jesus' name. But back to Daniel. We want to finish Daniel. We got to finish Daniel. Here. Glory to God. The angel Mike Gabriel was fighting. He was warring for Daniel. While Daniel was on his knees praying, fasting and praying, and talking to God for Jerusalem, for Israel, for Judah. He was fighting all of these demons from Persia. And also Michael now is back there with the Persians. A whole, it said Persians, so you can say it's a whole legion of demons that one angel, Michael, is fighting. And Gabriel is in another area. He's in the area where Daniel is fighting for Daniel, so that Daniel's prayers can reach up to the throne room. Because the angels are trying to, the demons are trying to hinder the praise from reaching God. Do you know that when you're praying that demons are trying to hinder your prayers from getting to the Father? And you wonder why I'm praying all the time, but some of your prayers, they can block some of your praise, because some of your praise, when you're not in the right, when you're not in the right spirit, and you're doing some things that are that belongs to the devil, you're touching some things that belongs to the devil, he can touch stop your praise because your soul is not right. But when you walk in uprightness before God, God said no good thing. You love him and walk right before him, no good thing would withhold from you. But Daniel said, Daniel is a believer. He's one that trusts in the Lord, depends on the Lord. And he acknowledged what God says. He received what God says, and he lived by the word. So the Bible says, the angel, Gabriel, says, I have come to instruct you all, give you understanding about what will happen in to your people in the future. For there is a future version here for the future. And while he was speaking with me, Daniel, according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground, and I was speechless. Then look, there was one in the form of a human, touched my lips, and I opened my mouth, and I spoke. And I said to the one standing before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my anxiety fell upon me, and I have not retained my strength. So how am I a servant of my Lord to speak with you, my Lord? Now, this Lord is a lowercase L, so he's talking to the angel, not to Jesus himself. And I just now have no strength in me. He asked the angel, how can I talk to you when I am weak in my body? Fear had overcome Daniel. You can imagine the size of this angel, this mighty servant of God that is talking with Daniel. I would be peeing in my pants. I'll tell you the truth. Because when you look and see this awesome, mighty man with his huge wings on, hallelujah, bigger than a supersonic jet, his wings are spread all the way over. He's an angel. He's one of God's front warriors. And Daniel just looked on him. He was freezing. He was frozen. You know, sometimes you come up on some stuff that just freeze you right up, and you can't even talk. But Daniel was in this state of mind. He couldn't talk. Hallelujah. He says, then he asks, do you know why I have come to you? And now I return to fight against the prince of Persia, and I myself am going to look. The prince of Divan will come. However, tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. And there is not one who contends with me against these things except Michael, your prince. Gabriel said there's nobody that can contend with him except Michael. See, Michael is one of the chief warriors too. See? And he said, look, these things going to happen. He began to speak to Daniel. You'll have to go into chapter 11 to see what he's saying. But we're not going there today. What I really want to get to, we might come back and hit this another day. We don't know when. But we have to get to this place that we understand that you have help. You and I, we have help from heaven. You're not doing this on your own. God has already assigned angels to assist you and I in this calling that he placed upon our lives. Because God already knew. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew that demons, agents of Satan would come against us. Some of the demons are in human form. Some are spirit. But even when they come against us, God says, I have already given the angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Do you understand that today? When you see things happen to the Lord, I just thank you for the angels. I thank you for the angels that you assigned on to me to assist me, that Satan would no longer have power over me, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, God. that are standing in righteousness and holiness. Father, I don't do everything perfect. I don't cross every T. I don't dot every I. But I am trusting you. I lay myself before you, your throne today, Lord. I ask your forgiveness for all those that are connected to me. Lord, I ask that you have mercy upon them, even when they don't take the time to pray, when they don't take the time to seek your face. Father, I ask you to reach out your hand and touch them. Keep them in all their ways. Do not allow the enemy, Satan, and his agents to have dominion over these, your children. These are your children. They are washed in your blood. They have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. I pray for them right now, God, that you bless them coming and bless them going. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my soon coming King, I ask you today, Lord, to touch Minister Jones, touch his wife, touch his mother, the prophetess, Kershey. We ask, God, you touch his children. Father, we ask you to put a hedge around as he drives, that when he's on the road, Lord, that he don't lose focus and that nothing will come to hurt him and stop him from getting home to his wife. Father, we pray today that even when he is on the truck stop, knowing that he is a believer and knowing that he loves you so much, God, that the enemy going to try to hinder him, try to hurt him. But, Father, we declare and decree right now, God, that you have called him and that you have given him an assignment while he is out there on the highways and byways, that he'll know what to say, when to say, and how to say it, and that the angels will be with him, even as they were with Daniel. And Daniel was by himself praying and seeking your faith. And this man of God is out on the highway driving, trying to make a living to take care of his family by himself. We ask, God, that you protect him. Keep him safe. He is your child, washed in your blood, called by your name, and called for your purpose. Father, honor your handiwork, your workmanship, and keep him safe. We pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray for their ministry. We pray for what you have begun, that you will complete it, Lord God, that they will continue to live to glorify you, that they will honor you in what they say, what they do, Lord. Lord, we ask, Father God, for you to watch over their children and their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if there's some. Lord, we ask, O God, that you continue to keep them protected and secure, because you said it in your word that you will perfect that which concerneth them. You said, O God, that you would keep them in perfect peace as their minds are stayed on you. So, Father, we are believing, we are standing in agreement with them even right now, that, God, you are keeping them in perfect peace, that no weapons formed against them will prosper. And, Father, we declare and decree that every tongue that come against them in judgment, it is being condemned even right now. We condemn it right now. Oh, Lord God, even as they walk through the floods, they will not be overtaken. The fire, they will not be burned. Lord, we thank you right now. We honor you, Lord Jesus, and praise you, oh God, for their ministry. Oh God, for the people that are coming. Lord, new people are coming from everywhere because you have opened the doors for the people to be set free from the bondage that they be in, coming now out of darkness and coming into the light where the ministry is, the lighthouse of Jesus Christ, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you touch Pastor Joyce as she go places into the sick and shut-in and ministering to people, oh God, that you cover her car. Yes, Lord, that you be the shield about her car. You be the protector about her car. Even if she go down a street and stuff happen on the street that it will not touch her. Lord, we ask for us heads of protection to be about her car, Lord God. Keep her safe and secure, that every time she go out, that she will make it back home to her husband, that her children would hear her voice, her grandchildren would hear her voice, that the enemy would not have no power, no dominion over her going or her coming. Father, we pray for Apostles Washington and Bishop Washington. We pray, Father God, for their ministry, their house of prayer, prayer line, comes on Tuesday night and Thursday night. They'll be on tonight. We ask, oh God, that you continue to grow their ministry. And yes, Lord, we ask for you keep them secure as they endeavor to seek you, live for you and work for you, honor you and what they say and what they do. Father, we thank you for giving her, allowing her to have a perfect surgery. She just had surgery. I don't know if it was the one on her eyes or the one on her knee, but she just had surgery. I know she's supposed to have surgery for her eyes and surgery for her knee. But, Lord, we thank you that you said that the surgery went well. I didn't have time to talk to her about it because I was so tired. I was so drained yesterday. You know, after I got off the line, I was absolutely drained. I pull a lot, may not seem to you all, but when I'm preaching with such authority that it drains my spirit. And I'm down. I have to go back and lay down. Most of the times I lay right across the bed and be filled back up. I had my nephew called me from Barbados yesterday, and I look at the phone. I saw him there, too. He likes to talk. You know, he liked me. He loved to talk. But I couldn't talk to him yesterday. So he called me again this morning, so I picked him up and do a video chat with him. You know, I was too tired. I know when he started to talk and I started to talk, we're going to be on the phone a long time, and my body was too tired, so I just went on down. But we pray for them. I pray for the apostle and bishop, and we pray for Brother Deacon Fraser, who is faithful to come on. He don't share on the line, but he comes on every day. He's with us. He got a new job. I don't know if the new job that he has is keeping him from saying anything, but we thank God for him that at least he comes and hear the word. And I say to you all, to be a bishop, Apostle and I was on last Friday night, but Deacon wasn't there. If you get a chance, go on and spend some time with him. He's a praying somebody. But go on there. The number is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And the access code is 308587. Access code 308587 pound. And that is at about 8:30 or so, Friday night and Saturday night. But we thank God for you all coming on today with us and hearing the word of God. And I can tell you that it's the word of God because God gave it to me. You know, I had a thing that I want to teach about today, but God dropped that in my spirit to teach about Daniel and Daniel's prayer. Think about the prayer and the protection of God's servants, how God protects us and how he shields us and how he heals us. We'll talk more about that when we do get another chance to come back and teach again. But if you don't, somebody today, let's read this one here today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we said, talked about a lot about repentance today. Peter says in Acts 2:38 that you let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, he gives you a gift the moment you submit and commit to him that you want to live your life for him. He gives you his spirit to help you to live the word. My soul is immortal. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness. or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There's only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God. But God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you cannot, you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity before God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven and be sure to enjoy heaven. This is what you must do. You must recognize that you are a sinner. Jesus says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You must recognize you cannot go to heaven on your own efforts. Paul said, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did not say he was one of the ways. He said he is the way. A lot of people today, even leaders, are saying that there are many ways to God. They say there's many ways to God, excuse me. But there's only one way, and that way is Jesus. You must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I'm still young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things to you. You do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. The prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing, you know, salvation is a blessing from God. The only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say he was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. So you have to be ready. Your soul has to be ready, filled with spiritual oil in your lamp, so that when he comes, you'll be able to see him. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity before God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. Now, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And also, that's John 3:16. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And then the Bible says that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. And the Bible also says in Romans 10:9-11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, that means anybody who believes on him, anybody who believes on him will not be ashamed. They will not be ashamed. So what you need to do today is to search your own heart. You know you got some stuff. You know how your life been, how you been living. You know you haven't been living a righteous life. Hallelujah. I had to repent, and I still repent every single day. Every single day I repent. I repent for my thoughts, because I'm not going out there doing a lot of unseemly things. I'm not blaspheming. I'm not cussing people out. You know, I'm not stealing stuff from people, but sometimes I have some thoughts that are not of God. We all do from time to time. The devil going to try to put a thought up there you know, and you have to cast it down. So you have to repent for even for the thought coming in, and you have to cast it down so you don't activate it. So I repent. What you got to do is start to repent. So, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I repent of all the things that I have done, the things that kept me away from you. And today, Lord Jesus, I'm coming, believing all that has been done on Calvary according to your word. Lord, I believe that you died on that cross, that you were crucified, that you were nailed, that you were pierced, that you were crowned, and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. I believe this. It's in my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe that you did this. You're a king who died for a peasant like me. And today I'm denouncing Satan, who had control over my heart, over my mind, over my actions. I denounce him and all of his agents and the world system. And today, Lord Jesus, I am inviting you to come in and sit on the throne of my heart. Take complete control of my life. Lead me and guide me into all truth. If you said that simple prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, it's in your heart. You have received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or you can start from Genesis, however you choose. But this is the recommendation. It's not written down in the book. This is just something God told me back in 2010. If you get a Bible, any one of your choice. I have many different kinds because I like to look at different Bibles and see different elaborations and stuff like that. But get a Bible. I recommend get a King James Study Bible. Get one because it will help you as a beginner, a new convert, and study these scriptures, study the books, and invite the Holy Spirit when you open the book. Invite him because he's a great teacher. See if you find this stuff for me. You know. Yeah. And begin to study. Get an understanding. Study means going over and over and over till it becomes part of you. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone who knows how to baptize in Jesus' name. Because a lot of people still baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. They still baptize in that way. That's because they have not been enlightened to that scripture and get the interpretation of that scripture in Acts 2 and 38. The apostles never baptized anybody in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They only baptized in Jesus' name. So, but the preachers today would get mad. Some preacher would get upset with you when you say, I baptize in Jesus. They'll get mad with you. So, no, you got to baptize according to how Jesus said. And he said, well, Jesus says so in Matthew 28. Okay, but this is your soul salvation that you got to work out. You have to determine how you want to be baptized. Don't let anyone baptize you the way they want to. You baptize. You can't baptize me the way I'll get somewhere. But don't tell the preacher that too. As the preacher said, they're baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say, okay, I'll get back in touch with you. Leave the bridge standing. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over, okay? Because you may come back after 10 or 15 years. They might call you to be the pastor of that church. But if you burn the bridge, nobody ain't going to call you back. They're going to remember how you acted, the pastor that was there before you. So leave the bridge standing and call a pastor that will baptize you in the name of Jesus. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Because guess what? You want witnesses to the greatest time of your life. This will be your new birthday. Whatever day you get baptized will be your new birthday. Okay? And then when you're going down, we call it the liquid grave. You're going down this liquid grave, this water, maybe a pool, maybe a baptismal pool, maybe at the beach, maybe at a river, lake somewhere. But you're going down in the water. You're not sprinkled. If they're going to sprinkle you with a little, that's not baptism. If they're just pouring water on your head or sprinkling on your head, that's not baptism. That's sprinkling. You want to go down head, body, foot, everything. Everything got to go down in the water. You got to go down and be saturated from the crown of your head to the feet. Everything. You got soap. When you come on the day, there's no dryness on you. Your head to your toe is soaked. And you come back, leaving all of that stuff that was holding you in bondage and keeping you away from Jesus, leaving it in the water. But when you come up, you're going to come up in the righteousness of who God said you are through Jesus Christ. and then find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. My God, do something for the kingdom. Just start doing something. When I got baptized and stuff, and I was so excited, I told the pastor, I said, man, I got to get something. You got to give me something to do. I said, you know, and I told him what was my trade. He said, well, you fix the bathroom, fix the toilets and fix the sinks and stuff like that. And they had a mop place where they would put the mop to drain the mop. And that would always get blocked from the fibers from the mop, you know, those string mops. And I would have to bring my snake and then snake that drain up very regular. And I did all that stuff. You know, I did all that stuff to the pastor see that I was working for the kingdom. They called me to be an elder and ordained me. And my first sermon was preaching about the tomb was empty. That was my first sermon. I didn't know a lot. And that was the thing that came to me. I preached about the tomb is empty. He's not there. There's no point going to the tomb looking for him. So get yourself involved in ministry. God bless you. Thank you for coming on and hearing us. And the line is open for anyone that want to come on and share. If you don't, come on back and close the line. Line is open. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Father. We thank you and praise you, O God. Now as we leave this land, but never your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Oh, God, remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in somebody's life. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So just tell them, share the attributes of Jesus Christ, the kindness, the loving kindness of Jesus, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, all this stuff is attributes of Jesus Christ. Share it with somebody. Share it with somebody that they might want to be saved. They might want to give their life to Jesus. And we are grateful for you today. Grateful for you. We appreciate you. Every time you come on the line, we appreciate you. We don't take your presence lightly, and we don't force anybody to respond, but we are glad that some people come on and respond. So have a good day. God bless you, and we'll be back here tomorrow if the Lord say the same. Bye-bye.